Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzmatidis here, Sunday morning. Lots of things happening in the world. We had a report from the European community. Now we have with us Dr. William Parker, a 30-year career in the Navy, Chief of Staff to Navy Operations, and President and CEO of East West Institute. One knowledgeable guy, and he has a new project besides. He's founder of Efficient Ships. And he's going to give us a report on the Far East, Near East, and Middle East. Lots of things happening. Good morning, Mr. Parker. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. It's always great to be back on your show.
Dr. Parker, there's so many things happening. Where do you want to begin? I mean, Russia is controlling a lot of things in the Middle East. China is controlling a lot of things. The OPEC nations are controlling. You tell us where you want to begin, because the American people deserve to know the truth.
Well, John, you said Russia, so we might as well start right there. You know, the impact of this Nord Stream 2 pipeline has had a significant impact on Europe and on this administration. There's no indicators that the United States is not any longer working to counter the production of the pipeline, which will undoubtedly move very cheap natural gas from Russia to Germany, which is positive for Russia's economy. And the Germans love the idea of inexpensive gas from Russia. But the Ukrainians will likely be financial and gas losers. The United States and Germany are working on ways to reduce the negative impact of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline to Ukraine. But, of course, the Russians have no interest in anything that would help the Ukrainian people. And so this is a major issue. And I think one that you will see Vladimir Putin, who has been planning this for a long time, continue to use this pipeline and the amount of gas that he has going to the rest of the to Europe. Just to give you an idea, Russia has been working on this, as I mentioned, for many years. In countries like Macedonia, Moldova, Bosnia-Herzegovina, they're all relying at between 90 and 100% of their gas coming from Russia. So it's pretty huge. Even countries like Greece requires 50% of all its natural gas to be imported from Russia. And countries like Croatia and Slovakia are in the 60s and 70%. So it's a major deal.
I mean, a lot of Americans are concerned because President Biden has shut down the Keystone Pipeline and just about turned over energy production to OPEC and to the new Russian pipeline. I mean, how do you view that?
I view it as a strategic blunder. We were heading in the direction of strategic independence, which I think is huge when you talk about strategic energy independence. And we are now looking at many of our friends and allies being reliable on that energy coming from Russia. And while they say in Europe that they don't tie geostrategic decisions with energy, at some point it is a geostrategic decision in itself. And so the fact that we are now going into the winter is a major concern to me, that you could have a country like Russia turn off the natural gas to some of these countries.
And this week we spoke to another European friend of ours that's Mario Economou, who says that the European community is very concerned with the United States backing them up and that they want to create their own network and defense system. For instance, Greece and France have signed an alliance that France will back up Greece in case of attack. I mean, wasn't that really traditionally a NATO thing?
Yeah, there's lots of concerns on this, and much of it is based on our response to Afghanistan, which we can get into. The other thing that I've heard Nigel and some other people say when it comes to Brexit, et cetera, is this discussion of winter of heating poverty. I've heard that term thrown around a lot. And, you know, former Prime Minister Gordon Brown is concerned because poor households in England will be facing a, quote, double whammy. At first, energy prices are expected to increase again and expected to increase by at least 15%. And secondly, there are some benefits that the poorer people in England are no longer going to get here in the near future. So there's lots of concerns about energy in itself going into Europe, but there's also major concerns about how the United States dealt with Afghanistan and the fact that other countries are now questioning whether or not we will be there. And I think this ties directly into the incursions of airspace from the Chinese into Taiwan as well.
Well, in addition, besides the European countries worrying about things, we have Israel maybe worried. We have Taiwan maybe worried. We have South Korea maybe worried. Give us the pulse in that whole area.
Yeah, you just hit it right on the head. Those countries are concerned right now because they saw how we dealt with the departure of Afghanistan. And I want to separate the departure from how we operated for 20 years there, which in general was pretty positive. But there certainly we left in a disastrous, embarrassingly negative and weak way. And they see that. And so now they wonder, well, are you going to leave us or are you not going to be there to fight alongside us? And I think the answer is the American people do not want that. We believe in our friends and allies, but the administration certainly was very weak in the demonstration of sovereign power of the United States as we departed there. So that said, you have North Korea, which continues to test ballistic missile capability. They continue to test their nuclear capability. And of course, the South is concerned. You have Israel, who is watching an increase in strength and chest puffing, if you will, of the Iranians, which is a concern. You have Taiwan, who, again, has had their airspace incurred numerous times in the recent week. And those numbers continue to grow on how many combat aircraft from China are going into Taiwan. So now, but I will tell you that all three of those countries are very capable countries, but much like the Afghanis, they do rely on certain support from the United States. So in order for them to be successful, they need to have the United States alongside. With Taiwan in particular, if I may, I will say that if we are going to, if China decides to invade Taiwan and the United States is going to get involved, we either have to go all in or not at all. If we go all in, then you have a major war. If we don't go in at all, then we have ceded the title of being the most powerful nation in the world to China. If we go in and it's not all in, what we're going to get is get hurt. Because you can't take just one or two ships or one squadron of ships over there. You have to take and go all in with these people and all of our forces and all our capabilities, or else what you're going to get is a small group of ships or aircraft hurt.
We have time for one or two more questions. And the most concerning to me is Japan, who has felt safe for the last 70 years, 60 years or whatever, all of a sudden is talking, well, maybe we need nuclear weapons to protect ourselves or to whatever. If the United States gave nukes to Japan, after all, North Korea has them, China has them, would China have a moment?
Yes, I think they would, but here's what I think would happen. I'm actually surprised that Japan has not gone nuclear already. And the reason I say that is because North Korea has basically gone unchecked for a long time. And now they've developed capability that they can fire missiles and they have nuclear capability put on those. So they have demonstrated that they can put nuclear weapons on or across or over Japan. So if Japan goes nuclear, what you're going to have is an increase of nuclear weapons and capability throughout that region, because China will beef up its capability for both offensive and defensive. North Korea will then say, well, we have to have them. Iran will unlikely say, well, we have to have them now. If Iran increases, then Israel's going to increase their capability. So what I see is the next country that goes nuclear is going to spin this nuclear weapons capability out of control around the globe. Then we lose control of fissile material, which means the next thing you have, even if you don't have a hard weapon, you're going to have potentially a dirty bomb going off in a major city in the United States. That, combined with lack of control of our southern border, is very concerning to me.
Absolutely. Dr. Parker, you have a new project. You're the founder of Efficient Ships. Tell America, we have 30 seconds left. Tell America what that's all about.
In short, it is a series of patented technologies that allow us to increase the efficiency of ships, burn less gasoline, put less greenhouse gases into the environment, and quiet significantly ships as they operate in the ocean around the globe.
Dr. William Parker, thank you for your 30 years of service in the Navy and everything you do to keep peace in the world. And God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you, sir. Good being with you.